If you like our podcast and you want to help support the show, please rate, comment, and subscribe. Also, you can donate to our Patreon page at patreon.com/whatshappening, or you can donate to us directly via PayPal. All those links can be found in the show notes. And now, it's time to know what's happening.
Yeah. Put your hands up.
I wonder if, yeah, yeah.
Back that ass up. Oh my gosh.
Double leg is hot. Is that what they said?
I think so.
Oh yeah, Tom, you dance for the camera.
That's good. For people listening to this, that was Tom Steyer, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Dancing with someone.
I think it was Juvenile. I can't remember if it was the actual rapper. But can you just imagine they paid Juvenile to, hey, can you sing that classic song, Back That Ass Up, but don't say ass, replace it with thang, and kind of do the edited, non-controversial.
You want the kids bop version.
Yeah, the kids bop version of the song. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, totally. Whatever. I got this. And but then he doesn't. Oh, yeah, Tom Steyer is out of the race.
Well, that
man, that really helped out, didn't you?
That might be why. I mean, I can understand that. Someone saw that and they're like, well, you know. I think that's it.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. This is episode 62 of What's Happening. I am Shane.
I'm Nico.
And yeah, so Tom Steyer is no longer in the race. This is going to be the most I think anyone's ever talked about him in the news.
I know.
It's our podcast.
I mean, people might not even know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
He was running for president. So
yeah, it was weird though because he was in the he wasn't in the debates, and then he was in the debates after after like the fourth or fifth one he was in them, and then there was one where it was just six of them, but it was Bloomberg was in that one.
Yeah.
And then the next one, or the most recent one from this recording, it was Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, and then South Carolina happened, and he wasn't very happy, wasn't pleased with that, with all the results, and so. Yeah, no more Tom Steyer. And, you know, it's not like a lot of people knew that he was in it anyway. But like, you know, like I said earlier, Tom Steyer is getting all the publicity on this podcast.
I know. What are we doing? Episode.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, do you want no one to talk about your podcast? Talk about Tom Steyer running for the Democratic nomination for president. but yeah, so here's a kind of I like how too in this NBC News article, I was like billionaire. Tom Steyer, like billionaire, like that's who he was.
That's his identifying factor.
Yeah. And also on here, it says the announcement came after an underwhelming finish in the South Carolina primary and spending nearly $160. Can you imagine spending $160 million on a campaign and it doesn't really go that much? I mean, I guess it kind of, I guess he did better than a lot of people thought because, again, like we were saying before, nobody really knew who he was. Probably people didn't even know who he was before and they're not going to know who he was after this.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess he was in the race longer than, I don't know, Kamala Harris was.
Yeah, so. Andrew Yang. Yeah. Tulsi Gabbard's still in. Of course, a lot of people want her to be out. Elizabeth Warren didn't do too well in South Carolina as well, I don't believe. And so, but some people are kind of seeing her being in the race now as just, you know, since Bernie Sanders is pretty popular in his base and all that, her candidacy, her being in this whole race or whatever is either she's trying to get the VP nomination or she's trying to split the vote with Bernie Sanders so that maybe like a Joe Biden will get it or something, or even a Bloomberg, which is hilarious because, you know, Elizabeth Warren had that, you know, we have a guy that's running for president who called women, what did he say?
Fat broads and horse face lesbians.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, I don't know. And Tom Steyer was also one of those people that you saw, like, almost every single time you watch television or you're on YouTube, whatever, his ad will almost always come up. Of course, now you see Bloomberg, and I did see Elizabeth Warren ad come on YouTube, but, you know, you see Tom Steyer on a lot too, so.
It says in the article that he spent $21 million as of Tuesday in South Carolina alone.
Wow.
And I guess he did really bad in South Carolina, so yeah. That's kind of funny.
He didn't do too well there. But, yeah, so we had like his little, I guess, after party or, you know, the, I don't know what they call it. I can't remember. But, you know, all his supporters were there and say, hey, you know, hope, you know, glad you did well or whatever. And so he comes out and he says, I'm not going to, you know, I'm out of this race. You know, it was pretty disappointing, but I'm still going to fight for climate change, racial injustice, and all the stuff that he's been fighting for forever, apparently, which was news to me. I didn't know he was fighting all that shit. I didn't know.
Wouldn't know who he was, who he's fighting.
Yeah, I don't know.
What?
So, and it's also funny, too, because then all the people start tweeting, oh, Bernie Sanders, thank you, Tom Steyer, for running campaign, which is funny, too, because then there's those clips of Bernie and telling Tom, yeah, okay, whatever, yeah, whatever, yeah. Okay, cool, I got you, yeah, you're a non-factor, okay, see you later, bye. So, yeah, everyone was tweeting at him, you know, Andrew Yang tweeted at him, Warren, Pete Buttigieg, you know, all the people, oh, yeah, thank you, Tom, for fighting the fight and all the good stuff, and then they're going to forget about him 2 seconds later, so.
Yep, that's how it goes.
Yep. So, bon voyage, Michael.
We already forgot his name.
Yeah. I was going to say Michael Bloomberg. That's what I was going to say. I guess they're kind of the same, right? Because he's a billionaire and Bloomberg's a billionaire. I don't know. I guess I confuse all rich white men. They're all the same. They look the same to me.
How dare you?
Yeah. But anyway, that's – we lasted like 7 minutes talking about Tom Steyer. This is the most he's ever been talked about ever. On anything.
I know. Even in the debates.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we should move on from him then because he's getting a little too much airtime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, Libertarian Country. Libertarian Country is your place for all of your Liberty apparel needs. They have t-shirts, mugs, bottle openers, beer koozies, books, and many more. Use our promo code HAPA, H-A-P-A, for 10% off your order. Again, that's promo code HAPA for 10% off. Thanks, Libertarian Country, and thank you for your support.
Yeah, so the U.S. and the Taliban came to an agreement for bringing peace into the country. You know, you can call it a surrender, a peace treaty, whatever. I don't know.
Is it like a ceasefire or what is it?
I guess for right now, but it's supposed to – all the U.S. troops are supposed to be gone.
In 14 months, right?
Yeah, so about, yeah, a year and 2 months, yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, basically. You know, I kind of wish it was just an immediate withdrawal, but I guess you kind of have to, you know.
It's got to be done in parts.
Yeah.
But we do have the agreement here, so we're going to kind of go through it. Well,
yeah.
You're going to go through it because you're better at reading than I am.
Well, I try. So a comprehensive peace agreement is made of four parts. And then number one, guarantees and enforcement mechanisms that will prevent the use of the soil of Afghanistan by any group or individual against the security of the United States and its allies. So basically, I'll just go over it anyway. I'll read the rest. Number two, guarantees, enforcement mechanisms, and announcement of a timeline for the withdrawal of all foreign forces from Afghanistan. Number three, after the announcement of guarantees for a complete withdrawal of foreign forces and timeline, the presence of international witnesses and guarantees and the announcement in the presence of international witnesses that Afghan soil will not be used against the security of the United States and its allies, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, which is not recognized by the United States as a state and is known as the Taliban, will start intra-Afghan negotiations with Afghan sides on March 10, 2020. And number four, a permanent and comprehensive ceasefire will be an item on the agenda of the intra-Afghan dialogue and negotiations. The participants of intra Afghan negotiations will discuss the date and modalities. How do I say that?
Modalities
of a permanent and comprehensive ceasefire, including joint implementation mechanisms, which will be announced along the completion of an agreement over the future political roadmap of Afghanistan.
So is this like with the Taliban?
I believe so. Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like they're kind of putting guidelines to kind of say, okay, if you do these things, we'll leave. I mean, we're going to leave anyway. We're going to leave. We're going to take, like, cause I heard also reports that there were, and I'm sure I have the numbers way off, but I think they had like 14,000 some troops there and they were going to bring it to about like 8,000, 9,000. I think it was around.
I think you're right. I remember you saying that earlier.
Yeah. It was one of the levels that, I guess when Trump became president, those were kind of where the levels were at. And then they were increasing when, you know, as his presidency was going on. But yeah, so it's kind of like, well, you know, like I said, if you do these things, A-okay.
Then we'll have this agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's kind of a long, I don't want to read the whole thing, but
it's in parts and it like specifies how they're going to withdraw and what they're going to do basically.
Oh yeah. So like I was saying earlier, the United States, its allies, and the coalition will take the following measures in the first 135 days. They will reduce the number of U.S. forces in Afghanistan to 8,600 and proportionally bring reduction in the number of its allies and coalition forces. It's kind of like I was saying earlier. The United States, its allies, and coalition will withdraw all their forces from 5 military bases. So there you go. And then the United States, its allies, and coalition will complete withdrawal of all remaining forces from Afghanistan within the remaining 9.5 months. So first they're saying, okay, so in the first 135 days, we're going to reduce the troops to 8,600. I guess to kind of make sure that the other side's not doing whatever. I don't know. I don't know why that, at least in this part, they're saying, okay, Afghanistan and the Taliban, you got to do this for us, because if you don't do it, then we're not going to hold our end of the bargain. And I'm just thinking, well, is the U.S. going to do anything to make sure they're not doing anything, you know, wrong or off the, you know, table? I don't know. But anyway. And then number two, the United States, its allies, and the coalition will withdraw all their forces from remaining bases. So basically, the first like part is, okay, we're going to withdraw troops to this number. And then the next 9.5 months, we're going to withdraw all the other troops we have here. So if you're part of the 9.5 month troop group or whatever, I mean, hopefully the other, you know, no one does any fighting or anything like that.
That other section right there is talking about prisoners, like political prisoners. I wonder if that means that they're going to try to work together and, you know, give people back who have been captured.
Well, I heard too that, I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was the Afghan president. I can't exactly remember. But they were saying like that wasn't going to be a part of, like, I don't know, there's some snag, whatever, but they're not going to be releasing any prisoners anytime soon. And I'm just thinking, well, that's
Well, then how come it's in there? It says up to 5,000 prisoners of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, which is not recognized by the United States as a state and is known as the Taliban, and up to 1,000 prisoners of the other side will be released by March 10th.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, if part of the deal is to, you know, release prisoners, then I don't know why they would put it in the deal and then the next day be like, yeah, we're not going to do that or something. I don't know. I'm not sure. But yeah, so basically, so kind of the whole gist of it so far that I'm kind of saying is everyone's got to hold their end of the bargain and to the deal. Cause if they don't, then this whole thing is going to be off. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's signed. That's great. You know, it's a good first step for this to actually happen, but I don't know. So, you know, and then there was like a whole bunch of parts here. And like part of me is just hoping, okay, I just don't want any more violence that in that region. Like, just bring the troops home. I mean, 14 months is just a really long stretch of time. And, you know, there's some people that are kind of looking at this and they're saying, well, obviously Trump is doing this for, you know, election and all that stuff, which I get that. I totally understand that, because obviously a re-election is coming, and that was part of his platform was, I'm going to, you know,
I'm going to take the troops home.
Right. I'm going to end these. stop these endless wars, whatever. I mean, he was a businessman, so he was kind of looking at it from a business standpoint, which, I mean, yeah. You know, take that however, but I don't know.
Like, why are we wasting all this money over here?
Right. Basically, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, if this is all a re-election ploy, then, I mean, fine, whatever. And then, you know, there are some people saying like, well, you know, this is a bad move. I don't want this to happen. You know, a lot of the neocons are coming out saying this is bad. Well, why are we?
John Bolton come out and be like, this is a bad
move. Yeah.
It's like, well, this is totally unexpected from you.
Yeah, I know. Right. Exactly. Which I, you know, and part of me is wondering, you know, maybe Trump and some of the people in his cabinet, because I don't know if 100% of his cabinet is would agree with this. Maybe they do. I don't know. But part of me would be thinking this could have happened sooner, because I don't know how long it's been since John Bolton hasn't been a part of his cabinet.
Hmm.
Do you remember how long it's been?
I don't know. Honestly,
it's got to be. It has to be at least like 3 months, I would think, right? 3-4 months, probably longer than that. I don't know. But I would think this probably would have happened sooner if Trump just didn't have him in his cabinet in the first place.
Oh, yeah. If he didn't surround himself with people who wanted to perpetuate that kind of thing, then yeah, he probably would have done this way earlier.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, he's, like you're saying, he's surrounded himself with people, oh, I want war. And, so another thing that I just remembered was that he's sending troops to Saudi Arabia. He's sending U.S. troops to Saudi Arabia. So I'm wondering,
to do what? Like, to fight for them or to keep them in line?
I don't remember. All I know is that they're sending troops there. I just remembered this, so I'm sure that I don't have all the information right now.
Hmm.
But I'm wondering, if those troops leave Afghanistan, is he just going to bring them to Saudi Arabia? Like,
just reroute
gonna,
them?
Yeah, he's just going to move them. He's going to move them here to here. I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
Yeah. That seems pretty likely, because, you know, whenever they say they're going to bring the troops home, they just find some excuse to leave them there or move them to a different country. So
it's because, you know, we're all buddy-buddy with Saudi Arabia's government, you know?
Yeah, so, got to send some troops over there to fight for them.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could talk about, you know, but yeah, you can look at the deal. It's out there, I'm sure. If you want to kind of look more into it, maybe as it goes on, we'll kind of see how it's going. Maybe we'll have someone on the show to kind of talk more about it.
Yeah, I think NPR was the one who posted the document. Like, they actually uploaded the document into a cloud so people can read it.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah, go to NPR and look that up if you're interested.
All right, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, Infinite CBD. What is CBD? CBD is one of the many compounds inside the hemp and cannabis plants. Although CBD is in the marijuana plant, Infinite CBD uses pure hemp-derived CBD isolate that contains no THC. Our CBD is straight from an industrial hemp farm that produces pure and clean, testing above 99% CBD isolate. I use the Freezing Point topical cream and the topical salve to soothe my muscles, especially my neck and back, and it feels great. Use our promo code HAPA10, H-A-P-A, and the number 10 for 10% off your order. Again, HAPA10 for 10% off. Thanks, Infinite CBD, and thank you for your support.
But anyway, we'll move on to...
We got one very important article that's not really that important, but I just felt like...
Talking about it?
Yeah.
I got a lady.
I know, right? Like, what? And what's that? Is that a dinosaur in her shirt? All right. You know what? I don't know.
What if it's like a watermelon, but it has legs on it?
People listening are going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck are you looking at?
So the title of this article is from Vice, and it's called "We Can't Have a Feminist Future Without Abolishing the Family." And you said you had read this article, so you can kind of sum it up.
It's super long, and I feel like the person writing this article was trying to write a book,
mm-hmm.
but then their editor was like, no, this is like supposed to be like a news article, so don't, like...
It's got to be at least 10,000 words. Okay, I got it.
It seems like they were told to write an article, and then they tried to write a book, and then like they had to shorten it at the end.
They're like, I just have all these thoughts. I got to get it out, you know?
I know, and like the whole tone of the article sounds like it should be a... I don't know, like a short story or something. Hmm. But anyway, so basically this author is talking about a feminist theorist named Sophie Lewis.
Yeah.
And she starts out by talking about like how Sophie's mom had died, had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer,
mm-hmm.
and that she has to like take care of her mom all the time and stuff. And that how it was ironic at the same time that she was writing a book about abolishing the family or whatever. But it kind of puts things into perspective because as you go on through the article, she's talking about like, well, the benefit of abolishing the family would be that everybody would just take care of everybody's children and right. their parents and everything. You know, like everybody would be taking care of everyone instead of, you know, just your wife or your husband or your children taking care of you, you know? Mm-hmm. So to me, it seems like she just wants someone else to take care of her mom because she feels like it's not fair. Like it seems like a personal problem that turned into like, I'm just going to project that on everyone else, you know? Yeah, I know. Like if you read the article, I don't know if you'd want to give Vice more clicks, but they start going into like how it's physical and emotional labor mm-hmm. to support other people and that it shouldn't just be your intermediate family who does that. It should be everyone. So we should have a system where everybody in your whole country, I guess, sounds like socialism, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just supports everyone.
Well, how would you feel if, you know, like a family member was diagnosed with cancer or whatever, and they couldn't take care of themselves. Like, would you be, or just say like you were diagnosed with stage 4 cancer or whatever. And, you know, I was taking care of you or whatever, but then I wanted help from, you know, like other family. Like if I, you know, hey, uncle and aunts or mm-hmm. grandparents, whatever, like, would you be okay? Like, so would you be okay with not just like direct relatives, you know, like a son or a daughter taking care of a mom and dad that has that sick or whatever, would you be okay with other family members coming in? Like I was saying, cousins.
You mean Sophie Lewis? Would she be okay with that?
No, would you be okay with that?
That would be fine.
Yeah.
But she's advocating for abolishing the family altogether.
Really? So basically what she would be saying is I need to ask my neighbor over or something to help me, or that neighbor. Over
Yeah.
There.
Well, and I mean, and raising their kids too.
But like, what if their neighbor doesn't want to, like, you know, I mean, maybe the neighbor would want to do that. I don't know. Maybe
it's your social duty to take care of everyone. And it kind of goes into like, she goes into like child care and like child rearing and stuff mm-hmm. where it's like, well, you know, like basically you provide the kid and then everybody else will take care of it.
Hmm.
And I don't know. The whole thing just kind of reads like she doesn't want to take responsibility for the things that she has to do.
Yeah.
And she also said, like, she addresses the people who say, like, well, what about, I like my family. I like the way it is.
Right.
Like, what about us? And she said that, no, you shouldn't support that because it perpetuates capitalism and inequality.
So her taking care of her mom who's dying is somehow, for some reason, that's somehow perpetuating inequality and capitalism?
Yep. Here we
Well, your mom doesn't have a choice. Your mom is dying of cancer. What is she going to do? She's just going to, me taking care of you, I'd be perpetuating everything I'm against. So sorry, mom, you're going to have to die of stage 4 cancer, basically, right?
I guess. Like, yeah, it says in Lewis's utopian future, the family as we know it no longer exists. Everyone, regardless of gender, is a surrogate and we mother each other. So basically, it's like I don't know about utopian, but it seems like some dystopian future where everybody just takes care of each other, regardless of what, like any connection that you have with that person.
Well, not everyone's going to be comfortable with taking care of some random person they've never met.
Well, that makes you a bigot.
I mean, okay. So the only reason anyone would do that is if they're getting paid for it. Like if you're working in that
type of environment. Well, that's perpetuating capitalism.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you're getting paid for it, you're, you know, taking care of the person that's old or whatever, and you're working in some kind of nursing home or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that person's getting paid to do it because, you know, they're employed by the employer that's doing it. So there's businesses like that. I don't know. But not everyone's good. Like I was saying earlier, not everyone's going to be comfortable with taking care of some random person that they've never met. Hey, can you give this person a bath? You've never met this person, but can you go ahead and just do everything? Like, just, you're going to be so personal. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. Right?
I don't know. The whole thing just seems very, what do you call it?
I don't know.
There was a part in the article I was trying to find because I was going to read it because it was talking about the capitalism part, but I can't find it. So you're going to have to, like, I don't know. There it is.
Oh, okay. Oh, this one right here?
This paragraph, okay. Yeah.
You want to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, so even those of us who might call our family situations relatively happy should sign on to this project of demolishing their essential structure, Lewis says. Nuclear households create the infrastructure for capitalism, passing wealth and property down family trees, concentrating it in the hands of the few at the top of our class hierarchy. Maintaining the traditional family structure over time has also meant exploiting people of color and disowning queer children. Okay, so I don't even know what to say to that. Like, I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
Well,
so,
she managed to get, you know, racism and sexism in there too, right? Somehow. So props to her.
Well, okay.
And so, something about capitalism.
Well, I'm wondering, she's saying it maintained the traditional family structure over time has also meant you're exploiting people of color. And it's just like, are you trying to tell me that a mom who, you know, like a kid who doesn't have a dad, that type of family structure where the dad leaves the mom,
mm-hmm,
and the mom's taking care of the children or however many kids there are, that's good? Because that's not a traditional family structure, because the dad just left. Oh, what? You're pregnant. Oh, fuck you. Bye.
Well, she wants even more than that, where you give birth to your children, but then your whole town or everybody takes care of the kid, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
Because it's only fair, you know. You got to share everything that you have, including your children. Because that won't end in, like, some sort of weird situation at all, right?
Look, if you're in a community where everyone knows each other and everyone's comfortable, then that's fine. But that's not going to be 100% of, that's not going to be even a majority of the community is probably going to be like that. Because unless you're in a small town, well, hey, you know, how you doing, Mr. Johnson, or whatever, that kind of thing. Like, I can understand that. But then at the same time, it's like, well, even if I had like a, you know, like if we were living in some small town or whatever.
You still have your family, though.
Well, yeah, exactly. But even like if we were living in like a town, like 500 people, and all 500 people knew each other, I don't even know if I would be comfortable with our kid or whatever. Just go
sleep at that person's house tonight because, you know, like, share the kid.
Like, what are they going to do? Like, I don't know what their personal life is like. What are they going to, you know, where they're teaching our children? Like, I don't know. The one who should be responsible for teaching your children is you, because it's your child. Like, I don't know why that's so hard to comprehend.
Apparently they want everyone. I don't know. It seems to me like they want like a commune or something.
Yeah.
Some sort of cult. But yeah, I guess that's the end game there. Abolish the family.
I mean,
cause we can't have a feminist future without abolishing the family.
So like in that type of society, then a mom and dad would just be literally like biological, right? Other than that, your child would actually be, oh no, they live in Mr. Stevenson's house,
something like that.
These two people are your actual parents, they live in a separate house, but you've lived in this other person's house for 5 years or whatever. That's totally fine in this type of society, right? Is that what I'm kind of getting at, or am I wrong?
I guess,
or what?
Basically,
anyone who's a feminist or even like agrees with this, if you're listening for some reason and you want to like tell us why we're fucking dumb, then please tell us, because I want to understand like what this whole structure would be like. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm curious. I would want to live in it, but I just want to know like what kind of society this would look like.
I feel like it would be good. It would be a good movie idea.
Maybe
make a dystopian future movie.
Could you imagine, though, in this type of society? Oh, no houses, because I don't want to be in no privacy.
Everyone, oh, you just, know what? There was another article about how houses perpetuate it was like they perpetuate racism and like,
oh, because like mansions, whatever. Oh, it's just mostly white people that live in this.
Well, they said like private property is racist because it perpetuates the American dream, which most people can't achieve. I don't know. Like that was another article. What? I think it was out of Vice also.
Oh, God.
But anyway, yeah, I guess we'll just go on from that because we could go on and on forever.
I don't know. That's the whole thing. It's just, I don't know. Like, I mean, like I was saying earlier, I mean, I'm interested. So if anyone wants to kind of explain to us what, you know,
what's going on,
you can email us or, you know, I don't know.
All right. This is getting awkward.
Okay. Is this weird news now? I think this is weird news territory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We're going to go into weird news now. Like this,
if that wasn't weird enough, yeah. You know. And now it's time for
weird news. All right, putting potatoes up your butt won't cure hemorrhoids. Doctors warn. Right to it. Don't put potatoes up your ass.
So the home remedy, according to the internet, is to freeze or cut up some potatoes into slices.
Wait, hold on a second. Potatoes only belong in one human hole.
Wow.
The mouth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought they meant the nose.
Oh, or the ear. Or, you know, some other hole.
Okay. No.
Anyway.
Yeah. So the home remedy is to cut up potatoes into like fry-like shapes, mm-hmm. and then freeze them. And then you stick them up your ass. And they're supposed to cure hemorrhoids.
How does that even cure? What, do the oils like come away? Like, it like kind of goes off from the fry and it goes into the hemorrhoid and it burns it or something? How does that work?
I've never had hemorrhoids, so I wouldn't know. And I've never stuck potatoes in my ass. So I also
I mean, I would hope so, right?
I like how they interviewed a doctor and they said, there is no medical evidence that putting frozen potatoes inside the anus can help cure piles, which I think is the UK version. Like, that's how they say hemorrhoids. So I would urge caution to anyone thinking of doing it, says Dr. Diana Gall. It says that she notes that people suffering from the condition can attempt to treat it at home in a number of ways, but sticking frozen spuds up their butt is not one of them.
Could you imagine, if you're the person doing this article and you got to interview a doctor. Yeah, so I got to interview.
That'd be great.
Hey, I got an interview about potatoes being stuck up your ass. Like, you want to interview about that? The doctor's like, I guess. And I am a medical professional, so I will tell people the dangers of sticking potato fries up your butthole.
You know, I'm sure that people in the ER have seen some very weird cases.
That is true.
Can you imagine, like, the ER doctor, like, so how did this happen? Well, I was trying to cure my hemorrhoids, but now I got potatoes stuck up my ass.
It's like, were you having some kind of like sex game or something? Or were you trying to? Well, I was trying to cook the potatoes and, you know, it's pretty hot inside my asshole.
Maybe he's a potato sexual.
Oh, like that's like a fetish? Like he loves potatoes for some reason?
There's like a sexuality only attracted to potatoes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That means probably. Oh, excuse me. Probably would, though. There probably would be something like that.
Are you having problems?
I'm having hiccups. I'm drinking the water too fast, apparently.
What are you, 2 years old?
I don't know. All this potato talk is making me, get the hiccups. Maybe I should cure it by sticking some potatoes up my ass and get rid of the hiccups.
We only have sweet potatoes.
Even better. Stick some sweet potatoes. It'll be sweet. Maybe when I hiccup, it'll start being sweet or something if I stuck sweet potatoes up my ass.
But you're not digesting it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. They're probably like, what the fuck is going on here? Are you guys okay? No, we're not okay. So the next one, this one's not, I wouldn't say weird. It's just kind of,
it's pretty weird.
It is.
Yeah.
I would just say it's, this person's just, you know, this is one of those, like someone, I guess abusing the system, I guess is how you would say it. Right.
Yeah.
Coronavirus, NBC 10 I team reports that detective retires after 22 years on sick leave. Okay. So first of all, imagine
you gotta introduce the whole thing though. Oh. So we're reading an article from 10 to, wait, what is it? 10 turn to 10. It's a local 10. News station.
Yeah.
From Rhode Island.
I think it's from Rhode Island. Yeah. Could be wrong. Wait. Yeah. Rhode Island. Yep. Right there. Right in the first sentence. Jeez.
Yep. And so some person has stayed, what was it, on medical leave for 22 years.
Yeah.
Because they work for the state.
Mm-hmm. That he officially retired 2 weeks ago, ending 22 years of legal wrangling in a limbo style or limbo type status that allowed the Warren police detective to receive his full pay and benefits, but never come to work. So there was, I guess, I don't know what the loophole, like what the legal writing is or anything like that. But apparently what he did wasn't illegal.
Yeah, it's written in the state law that helps protect employees by guaranteeing them full pay and benefits until they recover to come back to work. So it's for police officers and firefighters who get hurt on the job. So I guess maybe he had an injury that's, you know, chronic. I don't know, so maybe, he just never had to come back.
Maybe one of his arms got blown off or something. And he said, well, I can't come back to work. I have to wait for it to grow back. But it's obvious.
What is he, a starfish?
Yeah. So, like, if I get injured on the job, I guess, tough it out, man. Tough it out. But since this guy's...
You can get workers' comp. Well, yeah, you'd still probably be fired. You can't just keep going on for 22 years.
Well, not only that, but it's like, okay, so this guy said that he suffered a staph infection in 98. And
that's from?
Yeah, he hasn't been back to work since. With just 22 cops on the force, the town of Warren has had to keep his position open and pay him. So instead of hiring a new cop because he was sick or whatever, they just decided, no, we're just going to keep this guy on the job, even though he's not actually going to come in.
On the payroll.
Yeah. Like you would think, hey, maybe we should try and get a new cop because this person will actually come into work.
You know what? This is crazy. They said over the years, he's also been eligible for raises and clothing allowances. Mm-hmm. What are you going to get a raise for? You're not even doing anything.
Hey, you're doing a good job keeping the peace in your own home. Let's give you some raises and clothing allowances.
Well, some libertarians might say that that's actually a good thing.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're not doing any police work.
I mean, that is
they're just at home. We're going to pay you to just stay at home.
It's a good point.
except for the part that, you know, except for the taxation is theft part about, right. You know, they're stealing from the people of Rhode Island to pay for someone to stay home. There's that aspect. And then there's the other aspect of like, well, maybe that guy's better off just staying at home. I don't know. This is like a libertarian, what do you call it?
Crossroads or something?
I guess something like that.
So, okay. It's like, yeah, like you were saying. He's not trying to, you know, he's not hurting anybody. He's not, there's no escalations of violence or anything like that with him on the force. He's been at home sitting on his ass watching Matlock on the TV or doing whatever the fuck he does on the TV.
It's TV.
Whatever. And
he thinks it's TV. I think it's TV. Who's right? Let us know.
Oh my God. Yeah. Obviously it's TV.
You mean TV?
Nope. So so their reasoning for this is the reason why they kept them. They said that we have a very limited budget. We have a small police department. Even one salary makes a big difference to the bottom line of the department and their ability to function. Well, I mean, like I said, instead of, you could have just, I don't know, give them like, be nice here. Well, You could have just let him go. Maybe give him a month or something. I don't know. And say, in a month, then you can come back to work. Is that okay? He's like, nah, I think I'm going to go get another job. But instead, he's like, I'm just going to sit here and can you just imagine? Like, I'm just thinking that'd be like anyone in the situation. This guy is probably like, oh shit, I'm still getting paychecks even though I haven't been to work. Why would I say anything about this?
That would be perfect.
Why would anyone?
I'm gonna go become a cop, and then I'm gonna get hurt on the job, and then I'm gonna knock on.
Oh fuck! I got a paper cut. I have to go home and get paid workers' comp.
Yeah. Oh man, this paper cut won't close for some reason.
And then it's like, oh man, I am in a. So what do you do for a living? I'm a cop, but I've been on the job 5 years. I've been getting paid up the ass with potatoes. because, you know, I don't know.
You have to connect the two.
Yeah, I tried a failed attempt. I tried, but it didn't work out too well.
That was not in regards to the potatoes up the ass.
Okay, so the last thing we're going to talk about is our Florida man story. Florida man's always peeking, always doing his thing. And, it's funny. This one relates to the thing we talked about last time. But anyway, a Florida hospital worker arrested for sucking patient's toes. What, is he in love with the patient?
This is out of the New York Post, of course.
Let me see what they say in the first one. A Florida hospital worker was nailed for getting handsy with a patient's foot. Nailed, you get it? Because it's a foot and there's toenails on the foot. You get it?
So a Florida man was arrested earlier this week. Hey, why did you?
Sorry.
For allegedly sucking on a patient's toes.
Allegedly? Well, they're going to check for DNA, right? Oh, your saliva's on the toes. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I was just spitting, and I guess the spit that's landing on her toe. I don't know. On all 10 of them? Yes.
It says, a shocked patient told police that they felt their right foot being touched around 11 p.m. They assumed a nurse was checking on them for swelling, but then they felt their foot being touched again and again and a third time, feeling somewhat between their toes. And after the third time, the patient looked up only to see Florida man on his knees with his head bent over their foot.
Damn. Wait, their head bent over their foot?
Yeah, because, you know, he's giving the foot like a blowjob.
Oh, my God. Come on, man. Well, maybe he's practicing because he's like, I don't know if I'm gay or not. Let me just practice on the toes first.
I don't think that's how it works.
Oh, let me see if I like it or not. I don't know.
That's called a foot fetish.
Oh, I guess you're right. But some random, you don't know where that foot's been? Well, I guess you do know because it's been sitting there in the bed for who knows how long, right?
It says the patient yanked their foot away and the Florida man retreated back to his seat in the room where he was working as a sitter for the patient's roommate who had been deemed a flight risk.
He wasn't working as a sitter. He was working as a sucker.
All right. I don't know what else to say about that.
Okay. So he was arrested on charges of battery on a per. You. I didn't know there was a separate charge for someone for an age because it says he was charged of battery on a person over 65 years of age. I didn't even know that was a thing. I thought it was just battery. I didn't know that they were.
Well, if you're older, I guess it's different. I don't know.
But I guess that makes sense because children's like this. So anyway, I'm dumb. So he's being held in jail on a $1,500 bond.
Can you imagine going to jail? What are you in for? Oh, I was sucking people's toes at the hospital.
I'm not fuck with you, man. Go over there. You can suck your own toes if you want. Don't mind if I do. I will suck on my toe. Here we go.
No. All right. I think that's a good place to end it.
All right. Well, I just want to thank everyone for listening and for supporting our show. We really appreciate it. You can support us however you want. That sounds kind of weird. I'll support you however I want. I'll show you how I'll support you.
And then someone grabs your toe. I'm supporting you.
I'm supporting you by sucking on your toes like that Florida man guy. Wait, what? Don't do that. That's not good. You're not allowed to do that. But yeah, again, just want to thank you so much. Blah. Thank you so much. Oh my God. Okay. All right. All right. Well.
Okay. Bye.